Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Back to wrap things up for you on a Monday evening. Glad you were with us. If you miss any of the seven interviews this evening, just go to WQAM.com. Go to the top of the page where it says podcast, and there we are, South Florida High School Sports. We have them for you for weeks and months and years back, so you can catch up on everything we've been through. Don't forget that we won't be back next Monday night. Dolphins will play Titans, and hopefully Tuesday or Wednesday we'll be rejoining you for a lot of the things happening. One of the big topics in the state of Florida, obviously, is Florida State. This is a program that a lot of people looked at the beginning of the year, top 10 team, certainly trying to play off of last year. But then when you kind of analyze what happened, the Seminoles lost a lot of key players. Obviously, as Nick Saban said, if you're going to bring in some kids out of the portal, you're going to have to really hit on the kids out of the portal and the NIL, which they have done for the last couple of years. But starting off 0-3 didn't make anybody really, really happy, and finally get into the win column last week against California. He covers the Seminoles every single week, also in the offseason, from Knowles 247, Chris Knee, and he's kind enough to join us. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time. I know that it was a hard first month for this program.
Yeah, it's been a long month from Dublin to California game. They weren't anything like what was expected of them going into it, but they did get off to Schneid last week. It's a building block, but man, the offense is just not very good right now, and that's going to put them behind the eight ball against a lot of good, talented teams that they play down the stretch.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, when you lose a generation, well, I guess he could be considered a generational quarterback for all he did over the last couple of years, and Travis, and then two defensive linemen that went to the Rams, and two receivers, and a safety, and a corner. I mean, that's for any team, that's not easy to come back and replace. Do you think that maybe because of the fact that they didn't strike it rich into the portal this year and maybe settled on a quarterback like DJU, that this is the problem right now?
I mean, DJU is part of the problem, but they tried to build an offense around who and what he is and what he can do, and they did that with some of the portal acquisitions that they got after he decided back in December, early January, when him and Cam Ward were both on the clock. And the truth is the offense doesn't look like what they tried to build it to be, which was a run-based offense that could block it up real well and take vertical shots and hit them. They just haven't done any of that with enough of a consistency. I think a major reason why it's been such a disappointment and certainly not what was expected is that, you know, they've hit on the portal exceptionally well the last couple of years. They certainly have not hit well on the portal this year in comparison to those. But they also don't basically have a fail-safe built in with high school recruiting to make sure that if they do miss on portal kids, that they have ready-made youngsters who are kind of ready for prime time and go do it. So we're learning in real time. For example, this past week, a guy like Edwin Joseph, who's a second-year guy here who got hurt last year and didn't do much, he got thrust into a role, and he played very well. But you never know till they actually go and do it. And with this team, there's a lot of an age gap between very old veteran-type guys who are transfer types for the most part, and a relatively first- and second-year group of high school kids that they don't know at this point if they can rely upon, but they may have to try to turn this around.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, and that's something that, you know, is asked of us a lot, you know, especially by FSU fans. And not only did they have, you know, not hit in the portal, but they're recruiting. I mean, you look at a guy like Hakeem Williams. This is a perfect example. He's a five-star coming out of high school, and he's had a tough time seeing the field. You've got to get guys like that. And they had, you know, at the beginning, 2 years ago, they had some really good recruits. Last year, the same thing. But if they don't work out, obviously, it kind of looks bad. Talk about that, because I know that that's the one thing that Coach Norvell and his staff have been trying to do, is trying to get those high level recruits. And right now, as you go into the SMU game this week, it's getting tougher and tougher. The kids, you know, will have other options. Obviously, you want to win these next couple of games, but the season still is a long way to go.
Yeah, so for example, this past weekend, they played 27 guys on defense. Most games last year and early this year, that number was more like 20 to 22. So the other five are mostly young guys, guys like an Edwin Joseph, guys like a Blake Nicholson, who's been ascended to a starter role. He's a second-year guy as well. You mentioned Hakeem on offense. He missed a few games early this year due to injury, just became available for the last two. But he is the guy that they need to go be the player they recruited. The problem for them is that it's either fifth-year senior types or second-year redshirt freshman / sophomore types. I mean, receiver, right, for example, the young group at that is Jaylen Brown, a second-year guy who didn't play at LSU last year. Hakeem Williams, a second-year guy who's dealt with a decent amount of injury since he arrived at FSU. LaWayne McCoy, a first-year guy. And then there's a couple behind them that haven't gotten opportunities yet, but they're all first-year type guys. And, you know, as well as anybody, when a guy's a veteran, he understands how to do things right and how to deal with doing things wrong. When a guy's a young player, they're always trying to do things right, but sometimes they really mess up and do things wrong. So if you push a youth movement, there's a degree of it probably increases the likelihood of catastrophic mistakes. Now, currently FSU's not very good and making plenty of mistakes, but they're not making the catastrophic types that allow a game to become a blowout. They're keeping the scoreboard tight and giving themselves an opportunity, but the offense also just is not good enough. I mean, in modern-day college football, you can't average 15 points a game, and that's what they've averaged through four hours.
No doubt. Chris Neat joins us. Knowles 247 is where he's at. But then again, you look at Patrick Payton, and you look at guys like that who are really have stepped up their game. I know when we talked in the offseason, he was going to test the portal, but then all of a sudden said, you know, I'm going to stay. He's just really, I mean, he's like all ACC caliber type of player, a Northwestern kid. Also a guy that you and I talked about a couple years ago when he switched from Penn State to FSU is Conrad Hussey. That's a guy that obviously is as fast as you can get. Talk about that with kids that, you know, we talk about guys that they're not hitting with. Let's talk about the guys that they are hitting with.
Well, Pat's a guy who – Pat had an exceptional game on Saturday against Cal. Nobody on that defensive line, FSU's defensive line, was supposed to be the best part of their entire football game. Nobody in that group really showed up in Dublin very well, and I think they had a pity party for at least another week. And they seem to be getting out of it with Memphis, and Pat Payton's one that definitely led that charge. Josh Farmer's another one worth mentioning. And then Pat was exceptional this past week. Marvin Jones Jr., down the stretch in that game, made some crucial plays after really having struggled to make many plays through four games. You mentioned Conrad Hussey. He's kind of a good example of the whole young conversation we just had of sometimes those guys have mistakes. They love Conrad Hussey. He's exceptionally talented. He's a very good football player. He started a couple games this year. For lack of a better description, he essentially got benched this past week and came off the bench with KJ Kirkland, who's also a young guy, taking over his role. They love Hussey, all the ability in the world. It's about the communication, the understanding of what to do, rep in, rep out, play in, play out. And that's one of those things that, because they did miss on the portal class, a guy like Devontae Brown's not going to help them at safety like they thought so. They're going to have to shove a guy like Conrad Hussey or KJ Kirkland into more duty, and they're going to have to learn in real time. I mean, they're taking real-time football reps against high-quality football teams, and they're going to have to live and die by the mistakes and the good plays that they make, and the hope is that they just mature in real time. But they do like a lot of young guys on the team. Like, not all hope is lost for FSU long-term. It's just definitely – it's not the bridge year in the year where they thought they could compete for the playoffs in the ACC with what they did. It's not going to be that. At this point, it's about trying to become bowl-eligible while also figuring out who and what you can be in 2025 with what you have coming back.
Being bowl eligible is going to obviously SMU, Clemson, Duke, Miami, North Carolina, Notre Dame over the next 6 weeks is not going to be an easy task. But certainly, as you said, these kids are coming together, and hopefully this win is going to propel them. Before we let you go, let everybody know how they can follow you, website, also social media.
The website is Knowles247.com, CNE247 on Twitter, and the company account's Knowles247 on Twitter as well.
Chris, I can't thank you enough, brother. We'll check in with you in a couple weeks, see how things are going. And obviously, everybody in all the South Florida FSU fans are always pulling and always contacting us. And hopefully we'll get them some good news. Man, thanks so much. Have a good evening.
You too, Blue.
Good stuff. Chris Knee, Knowles247 wraps it up. Don't forget, we'll be back next week. We'll post you on which day. I believe it's Tuesday, but if not, we'll let you know. NFL football coming your way. Thanks so much to Danny Garcia, and we'll see you next week.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.